Good morning, everyone. Well, it bears reminding, and we're good at context on this show, I think.
I think
we do it
true.
Pretty well, behind economic statistics, et cetera. If you take out lack of access to quality drinking water, diseases like malaria and cholera around the world, poverty, hunger, I'd say the world is pretty much in agreement that the threat to life as we know it on this planet is what?
War.
Nuclear. And nuclear proliferation. I think.
Yeah, perhaps.
I think, war, sort of the health issues that I talked about, take those out of the equation, the nuclear threat throughout my lifetime, really since the explosion of nuclear weapons during the Cold War.
I guess, though, that's a lot to take out.
That is a lot to take out, indeed. But what is the nuclear threat a year after Barack Obama won a Nobel Peace Prize, presumably for his initiative, something in the abstract, is something of a dream for the Nobel Committee, of eradicating nuclear weapons from the world. Here's Barack Obama speaking in April of 2009.
As a nuclear power, as the only nuclear power to have used a nuclear weapon, the United States has a moral responsibility to act. We cannot succeed in this endeavor alone, but we can lead it. We can start it. So today, I state clearly and with conviction America's commitment to seek the peace and security of a world without nuclear weapons.
A beginning, he refers to there, President Barack Obama. Dr. Graham Allison rejoins us now, director of the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs, professor at Harvard's John F. Kennedy School of Government, author of the book Nuclear Terrorism, the Ultimate Preventable Catastrophe, which was published back in 2004. Professor, thanks so much for joining us once again.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the details that you referred to and the complexities that you referred to before in assessing the nuclear threat to civilization on planet Earth in 2010. Where do you say that it comes from? Governments, from terrorists, from the proliferation of weapons to rogue states like Iran and North Korea?
Well, the combination, and I think you've done, checked off the list. I think President Obama has been eloquent in focusing on the most urgent face of nuclear terrorism today, which is the possibility of a nuclear 9/11, that folks like Al-Qaeda do something like the attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, but just with one small nuclear bomb. And as Obama has said rightly, that will not just kill hundreds of thousands of people in a single event, but it'll change our world psychologically and trade and just one's whole notion of what's happening. So it's such a horrible idea that for most of us it's just incredible, but I think it is just unfortunately the fact that we have in Al-Qaeda and now in Al-Qaeda affiliates people who are deeply motivated to take such an action. The only question is if they get the means to do so, and as nuclear weapons spread with proliferation, and as nuclear, as the security of nuclear weapons and materials in places, let's take Pakistan as one of the most frightening, as the stability or security of these weapons becomes more uncertain, the possibility that they get the means, and if they had a small nuclear bomb and they were as determined as and were as effective as they were on 9/11, there's nothing between that and a nuclear bomb exploding in one of our cities. So horrible as the whole concept is, that's, I think, the most immediate specter. But as you say, it's driven by the combination of then the spread of nuclear weapons in places like North Korea and Iran as it continues marching down the trail, but also Pakistan expanding its nuclear arsenal every day, and India. And then the beyond that, the nuclear arsenals of the nuclear weapon states. So
sure.
The president has bitten off a big issue, and it's a big issue that's got multiple dimensions.
Well, let's talk to you about what I think nuclear terrorists and policymakers have in common, it seems to me, and that is that they focus on this psychological, unimaginable idea of the use of nuclear weapons as a threat. In some ways, governments can get the attention of the world by acquiring nuclear weapons because of this unimaginable psychological threat of nuclear weapons. Military tacticians, though, believe that the use of a single nuclear weapon would be relatively insignificant. What would change in the psychological threat of the use of nuclear weapons if, God forbid, one would be used somewhere in the world?
Well, a good question, and it's hard to tell, but let's just imagine, God forbid, as you say, that somebody breaks into the show and says, a nuclear bomb has exploded in Los Angeles, the same way that earlier Al-Qaeda tried to do the L.A. Airport. And the reports start coming in, and we discover that 400,000 or 500,000 people or a couple of hundred thousand people have died. Now, the next day, step two question, we'll go up on the webs, many different people claiming there's nuclear weapons in other American cities. So we will scratch our heads and think, gee, what about New York? What about Boston? What about D.C.? And then the question will be, well, do they have additional nuclear weapons? And the answer is, well, we didn't know that they had one weapon. And now, and they play out that scenario for very long.
And you get uncertainty and then complete paralysis. I see where you're going with it. And I actually, in this month of Halloween, maybe don't want to go down that road that
exactly.
far. Before we go, Graham Allison, does deterrence work in an era of nuclear terrorism?
That's, again, excellent question. And the answer is, how do you deter someone who is intent upon committing suicide? Secondly, how do you deter someone who has no return address? The whole intellectual framework of deterrence, which has its own limitations, but in any case, presumes high-value targets that are identified, you know, in a capital, so that if a state attacks another state, that's one thing. But if Al-Qaeda brought us a nuclear bomb, we would, of course, be searching for bin Laden,
right.
But we're searching pretty hard today.
What about North Korea? Does deterrence work against North Korea?
Well, for North Korea, I think in terms of its taking a direct action to explode a nuclear bomb somewhere, yes. But we should recognize that North Korea sold to Syria a plutonium-producing Yongbyon reactor thousands of times larger than a nuclear weapon. Hmm. So how to deter North Korea from selling a nuclear bomb to somebody like Al-Qaeda, I think that's another dimension of this issue and one that we haven't solved.
Scary thoughts, not so much about peace, from Dr. Graham Allison, director of the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs and professor at the Kennedy School of Government. Nuclear terrorism, the ultimate preventable catastrophe. Thanks so much, Professor.